A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
An Elio's original.
Hello and welcome to Web Crawlers, the podcast where we do a deep dive into some of our favorite mysteries. Each week, we will introduce our topic, lay out our research and findings, reveal some conspiracy theories, and conclude with our own hypothesis. I'm Allie Siegel.
I'm Melissa Stettin.
And who are our patrons for today?
We have Tanya.
Tanya, welcome to the team. We are so excited to have you. And I don't want to get anyone too excited, but I've started addressing the envelopes to send out t-shirts to the patrons.
Wow.
Free t-shirts.
Now, were they people who are still patrons?
I hope
so.
Or were
they patrons like a year ago and then they're like, what's this?
Yeah, what the fuck is this? I think it's people who are still currently active.
Okay, cool.
Because I printed out the addresses and I think it only gave me people who are currently active, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
So if your address is incorrect, change it now. And hopefully I haven't already addressed it. I mean, hopefully you aren't one of the five I've addressed. So just get ready for that. Welcome, Tanya. I am very excited for today's episode. And in fact, I'm surprised we haven't done it already. Hopefully we haven't.
This is where the puck wedgies live, right?
Is it? I don't know.
The Bennington Triangle. Or they've been spotted there.
Oh, yeah. I guess they've been spotted here.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't come across this. But yes, there are puck wedgies here. Land of the puck wedgies. It's crazy, the stuff that goes on here. So today's episode is on the Bennington Triangle, which is essentially the Bermuda Triangle of Vermont.
Oh.
It includes the towns of Bennington, Woodford, Shaftesbury, and Somerset in Vermont. It's centered around the Glastonbury Mountains. There have been several disappearances, several plane crashes.
Oh, God. What?
Yes. Murders, UFO sightings, Bigfoot sightings, puck wedgies. What the hell? There's even an alleged human-eating rock. So,
hold on. Human-eating... No, a rock that eats humans.
Yes, a boulder that allegedly eats humans.
It has, like, teeth on it?
Yes.
It looks like... Have you seen the Langoliers?
Yes, yes.
Does it look like one of those...
Yeah.
Okay.
There's all sorts of weird shit happening in this town. Let's get into it.
Anytime I can drop a Langoliers reference.
You have to absolutely do it. So what is this Bennington Triangle? It has a history that predates the colonization of North America, and it persists to this day. We'll get into what the indigenous tribes thought about this area, because they were not into it. There are supernatural reports of Bigfoot, UFOs, and interdimensional portals.
Oh, shit.
Which, you know, we fuck. You buy a house on Zillow and then you move in. You're fuck. That's why it was so cheap.
Another
here.
Portal.
Why do I always do this? There's not only supernatural stuff, but there's real live disappearances too. So it's kind of like where true crime and the occult intersects. This mysterious area has allegedly, quote unquote, swallowed as many as 40 hikers and residents.
What?
Yeah. So this place is no bueno, to say the least. So the indigenous people actually would not settle in the area. They would only settle around it. They believe that the Bennington Triangle was cursed. They thought that it was a place where spirits were constantly at war with one another, and they would not even set foot in the territory.
I mean, they know. They feel shit.
They feel shit. They know. So were they right? Hard yes, I think. Weird stuff has been happening since the indigenous tribes. A stagecoach driver in the early 19th century said that a large creature attacked his stagecoach during a storm while he was carrying passengers to the Glastonbury Mountain. Later, this monster that attacked his stagecoach was called the Glastonbury Monster. So there's a lot of monsters in Vermont, the Glastonbury Monster being one of them, Puckwudgies being others, although we've decided the Puckwudgies are nice.
Until they try to kill you and lure
Yes, absolutely. The Glastonbury Monster was also spotted in 2003 by a hunter named Ray Dufresne. Why does that name sound so familiar?
Dufresne. Andy Dufresne. Is that from Shawshank Redemption?
Yeah. Why? What? What's happening? Why is that name so familiar?
Ray Dufresne.
Yeah, like, do I know this guy?
Dufresne, the Shawshank Redemption. Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's why it sounds familiar. But also,
is that one of your favorite movies? Yeah. He's the prisoner.
I don't even think I've seen that movie in its entirety. No. 2003 is kind of recently. I'm scared. Like, have I met this guy?
If you dated him?
Have I dated this guy who's seen the Glastonbury Monster? I don't know. Maybe we've talked about him before. This is crazy, too. In 1892, a man named Henry McDowell went crazy and bludgeoned to death one of his co-workers, a fellow mill worker, in Fayville, which is located within the Bennington Triangle. And he alleged that he heard voices in his head, demons telling him to do it. He was taken to an insane asylum, but he escaped and disappeared into the mountains and was never seen again.
Wait, that was what year?
1892.
Maybe he turned into the Glastonbury Monster.
Exactly. You never know. There are many disappearances in the area from 1945 to 1950, which all took place between 3 and 4 p.m. What? In the last few months of the year.
Oh, that's oddly specific.
Yeah, very, very weird. So you have to think, and we'll talk about theories later, like, is it a serial killer?
3 to 4. We need that guy from the rehearsal on here who knows numerology.
Yeah, it's like angel, obsessed with angel numbers and bong rips. If you're not watching the rehearsal, it's the best television that's ever been created in the history of mankind. The first disappearance is a woman named Mittie Rivers in 1945. On November 12, 1945, 74-year-old Mittie Rivers disappeared while out hunting. Why this bitch was hunting at 74, I don't know, but good for her.
Good for her.
Yeah, Rivers was guiding a group of four hunters up the mountains. Rivers got ahead of the group and was never seen again. She went ahead of the group of hunters that she was leading, and they all thought, oh, you know, she's going to the campground to start a fire or something for us. Right. And they got there and they couldn't find her, and she was never found again. An extensive search was conducted, but the only evidence ever discovered was a single rifle cartridge found in the stream.
Oh.
Excuse me. Mitty is a man. Oh. Midi is a man, not a woman. He's a 74-year-old man. I would
think woman, too. Midi.
Midi sounds like
that's a good name.
Midi. Yeah, Midi. Midi is a man, excuse me. People thought that maybe Midi fell into the river and was swept away, but he was a very experienced hunter. He was familiar with the area. He grew up here. He was experienced enough to be leading other hunters.
Maybe he was shooting something. That's why the cartridge was in the had dropped out.
Was he shooting the Glastonbury monster and was taken away?
I think so.
We'll never know. Next was Paula Weldon, 1946. Paula Jean Weldon. I'm going to be pretty certain that she was a woman.
Don't be so sure.
18 years old, disappeared 1 year later on December 1st, 1946. Again, November, December. These are all the end of the year. She was a sophomore at Bennington College. She had set out for a hike on the Long Trail, which is on the Glastonbury Mountain. This all occurs on or around the Glastonbury Mountain. Many saw her go on this hike, so she was for sure to have gone. She was alleged to have been seen on the trail by an elderly couple about 100 yards behind them. According to them, she turned a corner in the trail, and when they reached the same corner, she had disappeared.
The same corner where the other dude...
No, not so. So she was walking with an elderly couple behind her, like right behind her. And then when they reached the corner, she had just disappeared.
And
they never met up with her again, and she was never found again.
Oh, God.
So, like, imagine you're walking down the street and then, like, there's a corner and you're walking a few steps behind someone and you turn the corner and they've disappeared.
Oh, that's crazy. That's terrifying.
Yeah. And then she was just never found again. There was an extensive search when she never returned back to school. There was a $5,000 reward and help from the FBI. No evidence of her was ever found.
Oh, weird.
People thought that maybe she had moved to Canada or she was a recluse living in the mountains now, but none of that really made sense. She had just disappeared into nothing.
Yes, my Canadian boyfriend.
Yeah, he's in sync.
Yes.
Her disappearance was the inspiration for the 1951 novel Hangs a Man by Shirley Jackson.
Oh, I love Shirley Jackson. She wrote Haunting on Hill House.
You don't. Oh, really?
Hill. That they made it into a.
Yeah. Oh, I know the TV show.
Yeah, I read the book.
If it's been made into a TV show, I know it.
She wrote that short story called The Lottery that you may have read in high school.
I don't know.
It was about like the people had to stone people.
Mm-mm.
It's a big high school, sure. Anyway.
This is a big difference between me and Melissa, is that she's read the books and I've read the TV show. I've read the TV show. I've watched the TV show. Same thing. The next is Betty Frazier, 1948. She was 26. She was reported missing on May 5th, 1948 by her husband. He had apparently been concerned about his wife's quote-unquote wild behavior.
She was a loose woman.
She was a loose woman. And when she failed to make the journey back from a local bar on foot, he had reported her missing. I don't know why she was out drinking without him and then walking home from the bar, but
she's a loose woman.
She's a loose woman. That's a whole other story. And she, the last sighting of her was by a neighbor who reportedly saw her walking drunkenly, unsteadily, around Highway 30 in the general direction of Bennington. The neighbor said it was like she was in a trance. She completely ignored the offer for a ride home. Her body is the only body of these missing people who is found. Her body was discovered 1 month and 1 month later, 17 miles away on a forest trail in West Dover. And they said it was death by misadventure.
Misadventure?
I don't know. That like sounds fun. I don't know what. I've never heard of death by misadventure.
Does that mean she just like got lost?
I guess.
17 miles away, though. What? You're not drunk and you're not walking that far.
Yeah, 17 miles. That's crazy. So, and in a trance and just completely ignored an offer from the neighbor for the ride home.
That ain't right.
That ain't, something ain't right. Next was James Tedford, 1949.
All in the 40s so far.
Yeah, so this is all from 1945 to 1950. So this all happened in the span of like of 5 years. All these people disappeared.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, so he was a veteran. He was a third person to disappear. He went, this is weird. He went missing on December 1st, 1949, exactly 3 years to the date after Paula Weldon had disappeared.
That's weird.
Yeah. So, and this case is the weirdest. So according to witnesses, Tedford got on a local bus to go to the Bennington Triangle area. And he was on the bus the whole time. People saw him. He had a ticket. And somewhere between the last stop in Bennington, he vanished.
What?
Yes. So
Did he get off? No.
There was no stops. So he didn't get off at the last stop, and there was no stops. He was on the bus, and when they got to the final stop, he had disappeared. He was no longer on the bus.
But his
belongings were all still there. He had just disappeared into thin air.
What the hell?
Yeah.
What happens?
So obviously people, like, your intellectual brain is like, okay, people must have just missed him getting off and then thought that he was
still on. Well, if his stuff was on the luggage rack.
Exactly. He like it just disappeared into thin air with all of his stuff still there. So next is Paula Jepson in 1950. Paul Jepson. He is the fourth person to vanish. He was 8 years old. On October 12th, 1950, he had accompanied his mother in a truck. She left her son unattended while she went to go feed some pigs on a farm or something, I guess. Okay. I don't know how that shit works. His mother was gone for about an hour, and when she returned, her son was nowhere in sight, and then he was never found.
Oh, no.
Yes. But according to one legend, bloodhounds tracked the boy to a local highway where Paula Weldon had disappeared. So to the exact same location. There's reports that the boy was never found, but there's like a local legend that bloodhounds sniffed his scent right to where Paula Weldon had disappeared, the exact same location.
This is all weird.
It's bizarre.
Like 5 years? Like, that's strange.
One after the other. Then Frida Langer, the fifth and final disappearance, occurred 16 days after Jepson vanished. On October 28th, 1950, she's 53 years old. Frida and her cousin Herbert left the family campsite near the Somerset Reservoir to go on a hike. During the hike, Langer slips and she fell into a stream. She told Eisner if he would wait, she would go back to the campsite, change clothes, and catch up with him. But she never returned to the campsite, and several searches were made for her, but never found. On May 12, 1951, her body was found 3.5 miles from the camp at the Somerset Reservoir.
Oh, weird.
And no cause of death could be determined from her remains.
No cause of death?
Yeah.
Huh.
So I guess there was no death by misadventure.
No, maybe she got lost or the glass?
So I guess two bodies were found.
Weird.
It's hard because a lot of this, since it happened a while ago, some of this has become like lore.
Right.
It's hard to distinguish between fact and lore, but all these people for sure did disappear. Let's take a quick break for announcements. Web Crawlers has a Patreon to get access to bonus episodes, shout outs, merch discounts, some new episodes coming up. Please go to patreon.com/webcrawlers. You can donate as little as $2 a month to become a patron, or if you just want to support women in the arts.
Women in the arts.
That's us. Yeah, women in the fine arts. We're artists. Please rate or review us on Apple Podcasts. If you give us a 5-star review, we will shout you out. And please continue calling our hotline. Insert jingle here.
626-604-6262.
Just save it in your phone in case you go to jail and you need someone to bail you out. It's really been popping off, and we will continue to play your voicemails as usual.
Do they let you look through your phone in jail now? I would assume they do, right?
I don't know, because no one has numbers memorized.
Yeah, if they confiscate your stuff, I would assume you'd be like, can I get my phone? I don't know my husband's phone number.
I would literally like call the house I grew up in. Yeah. I'd be like, hi, I lived here 20 years ago. Can you pick me up from jail? Like, I don't know my parents' number. Like, I don't
know.
No, I know I know their cell. I don't know their home. So hopefully they pick up their cell. But yeah, I don't. That's a good question. If you know, please call in and let us know. Because that's actually, I would just have to live in jail forever, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, which doesn't sound that bad.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Now back to our program. Now, this one is strange. It happened more recently. This guy, Robert Singley, on October 3rd, 2008, a Bennington Banner newspaper had a story called Lost in Glastonbury. Mm. And it was an interview with this guy, Robert Singley. He's 27 years old. He claims to have become lost in the Bennington Triangle in a very weird Bermuda Triangle kind of way. Uh-oh. He said that he went for a hike in the exact place where Paula Weldon was seen 62 years ago.
Well, that's your first mistake.
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing?
He said, for it.
You honestly are. He says, while walking back to the car, he realized he had gone 4 or 5 miles, but his car had been parked only 3 miles away. So he's claiming his car had essentially just like disappeared. He said a fog rolled in. It was starting to get very dark. He pulled out his headlamp, but now it was broken. He didn't have a watch or GPS or anything like that. He was unable to locate the correct trail. He took refuge under a large tree. And he says, quote, I was kind of like drawn to it in the night. I was really expelling a weird sort of, I don't know, a really weird haunting energy. It was dark. I was cold. Apparently, he tried to build a fire. He kept stumbling across large animal bones.
Huh?
Yeah, he said the night was eerily quiet. He was disoriented when the sun rose. He was able to find his car. He woke up, he says, on the total other side of the ridge, 7 miles away from where he thought he was, and had just, I guess, had become completely disoriented.
Oh, weird.
Maybe he just got lost, but he says essentially that the woods, like, seemed to be changing on him, and he was completely disoriented. Yeah, this is crazy as well. Near there, at least 27 airplanes have crashed into the lake near the Bennington Triangle.
What?
Yes, which is obviously a large amount of airplanes.
Are they like single or like smaller?
Yeah, like small aircrafts.
Wow.
20 pilots and passengers have died.
Oh, geez.
Yes. And the weirdest thing is one of the planes was a corporate jet with 5 on board, and it completely vanished in 1971.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was never found despite high-tech searches trying to find
the plane. That went into the portal.
Well, now let's get into some theories.
The portals.
Yeah, there is a theory that there is a portal in this area, and it's called it's called the window theory by John Kelly, I believe it is. And basically it's saying that in this area there's like a portal between two worlds, and the veil between this world and another dimension or another time and place is very thin. And that's why people keep disappearing, or planes end up crashing, or people get disoriented, or there's monster sightings and other kind of creatures who come in because they're passing in and out of this window or veil portal from the other dimension. So that's one theory about the Bennington Triangle, is could it essentially be a window into another world?
Yes. I think so.
Melissa's favorite theory is this man-eating stone.
Oh, God.
And this is by Joseph Citro. It's in the Vermont Monster Guide. And
I need this guide.
Yeah, I mean, apparently there's a lot of monsters in Vermont. So there, it's alleged in Glastonbury Mountain, where all these people are hiking, that there's a huge man-eating stone.
What does this look like?
There's a picture of it.
Okay, I found like a drawing of it.
Yeah, the drawing.
Man-eating stone. With like a hand coming out?
Yeah, so it says in the guide, it says, no one alive has seen this dangerous anomaly on Glastonbury Mountain. Native Americans knew of it and warned people away. We can only imagine it as a sizable rock large enough to stand on, but when someone stands upon it, the rock becomes less solid and, like a living thing, swallows the unfortunate trespasser. A number of disappearances have been reported on Glastonbury Mountain. Could all of these vanished folks have stepped inadvertently on this hungry stone?
What if, like, when the stone swallows them? What? There's, like, a movie where, like, it swallows them, but, like, you can still see the outline of their faces, like, kind of.
Oh, into the stone. Maybe that's how Mount Rushmore happened.
Yeah, it ate the presidents.
It ate all the presidents. Yeah,
that's Bennington, right, that's what happened.
Bennington Triangle has the Mount Rushmore of missing people. So that's one thing that they think happened, is that maybe the forest is actually consuming people. Like, it's a real life.
Forest got to eat too.
Yeah, forest be hungry. We eating good. Possible. Who knows? The next thing is, you know, could it be something supernatural, like UFOs abducting people?
Always a possibility.
Always a possibility. Bigfoots, Pukwudgies, The Vermont Monster, the
Vermont Monster,
Glastonbury yeah. Monster, or was there a serial killer in the area from this time, from 1945 to 1950, who could have been killing all these people on the mountain? I didn't check to see.
Were there serial killers back in the 40s? Was that a thing?
I know, right? People were too busy, like, having TV dinners. 19th century is 1800s, right?
Yes.
Shut up.
I believe so. There's the practical explanations. Boring.
Yeah, no
thanks. Hypothermia.
Yeah, what are some of the practical explanations?
Hypothermia is one, because the temperatures on the mountain can drop very low. And the disappearances all did happen in the winter.
True.
So when experiencing hypothermia, people might engage in terminal burrowing. This is a survival behavior that drives people to find someplace small and remote to huddle. It gets people out of the wind, but it helps the slow process of freezing to death. Another has to do with the area's history as a mining town. The mountainside is littered with unmarked mine shafts that may cause hikers who go off trail to plummet to their deaths. So these could explain why missing people were never found, I guess. And then the odd wind pattern. Most places have a wind pattern that influences how plants grow. Glastonbury Mountain has no consistent wind pattern, so plants grow in odd ways. And many hikers have had difficulty navigating the mountain. For this reason, it's a basis for the Native American myth about the four winds.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, maybe like erratic winds, I guess?
Yeah. Here's something I just found. So the Lonely Hearts Killers, it's American serial killer couple.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Yeah, Raymond Fernandez and Martha Jewel Beck were suspected of having killed up to 20 victims during a spree between 1947 and 1949.
Oh, where were they located?
That's what I'm trying to look. It looked like they went to prison in New York. They moved to Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Oh.
Connecticut's near Vermont,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So we shouldn't rule that out. Yeah, maybe they would go take little vacations to Vermont to kill in the winter.
Oh, weird. They moved to the Grand Rapids. Oh, that's in Michigan. Can't rule it out.
Yeah, I mean, this looks like maybe not, because it looks like they buried bodies in the basement and stuff. But, I mean, you never really know.
You never know. They were only convicted of one murder and have known to commit two more and have suspected of killing up to 20 victims. Oh, they met people through their Lonely Hearts ads.
Oh, so I mean, that
like they would
really
put ads in the paper.
This is why you shouldn't date.
Oh, weird.
This is why dating's
bad.
That's crazy. So, or just like the guy who bludgeoned his coworker to death because he heard voices. Mm-hmm. Is there something demonic there that's telling people to disappear or kill themselves or, you know, what have you? You never really know. If you have any theories about this wackadoo area, or if you live in...
I feel like we have some listeners who live in the Bennington Triangle area. I feel like some people have called and been like, I live in this area.
Yeah, I feel like people have suggested this as an episode before.
Yeah.
I got it from Weird Wikipedia, which is like my new favorite place to source material. Yeah,
Weird
it just
Wikipedia.
Has all the weird stuff on Wikipedia. But if you have any ideas about what the heck is going on here, or if you know any fun cryptids or monsters that pop off in Vermont, Melissa, where can people reach us?
You can email us at webcrawlerspod@gmail.com.
Well, I am Allie. I think it's a portal seagull.
I'm Melissa. Gotta watch out for those mine shafts, Stettin.
Oh, you know what this kind of reminds me of? Sorry, just one last tidbit. Remember on TikTok when there was that whole thing of like, people would find stairs in the forest with a door or something, and then it was like, don't go into the stairs with a door because you disappear.
Yes.
Or there was that forest in Japan. What was it? The suicide forest or something?
Oh, yeah.
And like Jake Paul or Logan Paul went and totally disrespected
it. Oh God, yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah.
What a psychopath.
Yeah. Forests are wild. Forests are weird.
Speaking of forests.
Forrest Gump.
Martin's show comes out Thursday.
Oh yes. Drop it.
It's called Keep Breathing.
What is it about?
On Netflix. It's about a woman whose plane crashes in the woods and she has to survive.
Oh,
and
fuck.
She has to battle her inner demons as well.
I hope she doesn't get her period while she's out there.
I don't know if she's out there for long enough, but I'm not going to say, but it's my favorite thing that he's made.
You get sued? I would love for Martin to sue you for dropping spoilers.
You told everyone that I did.
Yeah.
No, it's so good. Amazing. It's only 6 episodes. They're like a half hour each. It's not beautiful.
Enough.
It's shot in Vancouver. It's great.
You said Vancouver, and I was like, Vermont was
Vancouver. Yes.
We just did an episode on Vancouver. All right, guys. So make sure to watch that. What is it called again?
Keep breathing.
All right, guys.
Hold on.
Dolly, quiet. Yes. Quiet.
Did your dogs stop barking when you tell them to?
They're better. I think they understand a little bit of English. See?
That's good.
Oh, that was good.
They went away.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. All right. Oh, nope. Okay. Just kidding. All right. Bye.
Bye.
An Elio's original.
Powered by Acast.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.